Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, just two Sundays ago, something rather special took place. You remember Easter Sunday? It was a little different. Two services instead of two. Breakfast served by the youth. Easter egg hunt. Special music. You know, and even though every Sunday is a celebration of Jesus rising from the dead, there's just something special about Easter Sunday. Now, the messages that I delivered that day really weren't a whole lot different than the messages I give on any other Sunday. But, you know, I think focusing our hearts, our ears, our minds on the events of that first Easter Sunday, the women going to the tomb early in the morning and finding it empty, the angels declaring to them that Jesus had risen just as he told them he would, Peter and John running to the tomb but not understanding, confusion of the other disciples who heard the women's fantastic tale that they had seen Jesus for themselves. Hearing all of that, I believe hearing all those events again stirred our hearts in a way that, well, unfortunately, other Sundays just normally don't. That's kind of what we heard about in our gospel lesson this morning. On that first Easter afternoon, evening, we heard those two men said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to have that kind of joy? Don't you wish we could capture and hold on to that kind of excitement every Sunday? In fact, not just every Sunday, but every day. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. It's all too easy for us to take the good news of the resurrection for granted. Life in a world of sin can easily distract our hearts. Sometimes what we see and experience gives us sad hearts as we're weighed down with sorrow, suffering, and sin. Sometimes we have troubled hearts, caused by the anxiety and the worry of the uncertainties and problems of life. Sometimes we have weak hearts, hearts that struggle with the temptations and trials that can sometimes just seem overwhelming. And sometimes we even have doubtful hearts, wondering if Jesus really walks with us, that he really cares for us. And sometimes our hearts, we have to admit, sometimes become lukewarm, somewhat indifferent, or even apathetic to the matters of life and the matters of faith. The condition of our hearts can be affected by so many things in life. But whatever the condition of your heart may be, whatever kind of a heart you brought into this place this morning, Jesus is here, speaking to you, revealing himself again as the risen Lord, as your risen Lord, who has broken the grip that death and hell once had on you. Jesus comes this morning to rekindle in our hearts the hope that springs from a restored relationship with the God of heaven and earth. A father who assures us of his love, no matter what the temperature of your heart may be. You know, it's amazing what Easter can do. In the late 1700s, Napoleon's army had advanced to within 6 miles of the village of Felkirk in Austria. The Austrian army was moving to meet the French, but was still some distance away, and it appeared that the city, Felkirk, was going to be taken without any resistance. But as Napoleon's army advanced toward their objective and massed outside the town walls in preparation for attack, it was Easter Eve. The next morning at sunrise, the bells of the village pealed as they always do to announce Easter morning. And Napoleon's army, mistaking this as a call to muster additional forces, fled in the face of what they assumed must be a superior power. What they didn't realize was the superior power was much more superior than they could have ever imagined. See, the Easter bells caused the enemy to retreat. And each year since then, on the anniversary of that retreat, it's not always on Easter, but on the anniversary of that retreat, the bells ring out in celebration in that town. Today, the bells of Easter still ring with joy, causing the enemies of our peace to retreat. Those bells rang out on the road to Emmaus as the living Lord rekindled faith in the hearts of two men so that their hearts burned within them. Those men who were walking to Emmaus on that first Easter Sunday felt hopeless. We don't know why, but for some reason they had left Jerusalem and missed Jesus when he appeared to the other disciples in that upper room. We know that one was named Cleopas, but who the other one remains a mystery. What we do know is that their hopes had been dashed by his death. Their words, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel," tells us that much at least. They'd pinned all of their hopes on Jesus, thinking that he was going to lead them to a great victory over their troubles and their troubles that their nation faced. But his death put an end to all of that. All they knew is that they were without Jesus, and without Jesus, the fire of faith had left their hearts. That's still true today. Without Jesus, the hearts of people remain frozen and cold. We see evidence of this throughout the world. Without Christ, there's no forgiveness. Without Christ, there's no desire to truly reconcile, just to get even. Some people hate each other so much that they detonate explosives that they've strapped to their bodies, or kill people by driving trucks into crowds and brutally attacking people with knives and guns. But even though it's not as violent, it's no less damaging as people abuse others physically, verbally, mentally, each and every day, as families are torn apart. The cold heart expresses itself in many ways, showing that their love for God and for others has grown cold. So Jesus came and met those men on the road and began to explain to them how everything that they had experienced the days before Easter was all in God's plan. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself, Luke writes. What an eye-opener. What an eye-opener that must have been for those men as Jesus spoke to them, as they began to see that the Jesus that they had known and loved truly was the Redeemer of Israel. A mathematician by the name of Peter Stone determined that the chances for anyone fulfilling just 8 of the more than 300 prophecies of the Messiah in the Old Testament as being 10 to the 17th power. Can you imagine that? 10 to the 17th power makes absolutely no sense to me. Just as all math makes no sense to me. But according to Lee Strobel, the author of The Case for Christ, this is the same as covering all the dry land of the earth with 1.5-inch square tiles, with only one of them being painted red on the bottom. Now, if a person is given a lifetime to wander the earth, and then at some point to pick up just one tile, the odds of it being that one red tile are the same odds of any one person fulfilling just 8 of those Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. Jesus used those prophecies to help those men see why they should trust that their beloved rabbi and master was the Messiah that they had been hoping for. And we know that when they heard him, they believed. Because after he had departed, their comment was, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us?" They were filled with faith and hope and joy as they ran back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. You know, folks, we need to hear Jesus today. You know, maybe Luke didn't tell us that other disciple's name, Because he wanted us to put ourselves in his place. To know that like him, we need to hear the truth that Jesus is our hope. The Savior, the true Savior, the only way to a life of freedom, peace, and joy. We need to hear that Jesus was God's plan for our salvation, even before Adam and Eve brought sin into our world. And the more we believe and trust that, the more our hearts will be warmed, the more confident we will be when we face the problems that life brings. Trusting Jesus when we think about or face our own death, we can say with confidence, I shall never die. What did Peter write? We have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Trusting Jesus, we know that we don't walk alone in this life. We don't walk alone to our grave. We have the promise of the risen Christ who says, because I live, you also will live. In the South Pacific, there's an island about 2,000 miles west of Chile. It's an island called Easter Island. Most of us probably have heard of it. It was named that when Dutch explorers landed there for the first time on Easter Sunday in 1722. And of course, the most famous features of Easter Island are the 887 huge face-shaped stone monuments, which date back many centuries and still remain a mystery as to who put them there, how they could have gotten there. Now, Easter Island occasionally attracts tourists and such, but otherwise remains almost empty. See, for us, Easter is more than an island. Easter isn't some celebration we simply observe and then forget. Easter is an ongoing reality which gives to us a living hope because we follow a living Savior. Now, when you head back to the old grind today or tomorrow, whatever that may be, remember the declaration of victory. Christ is risen. When you face what seems to be an insurmountable problem, take heart in the reality that Christ is risen. When you stand at the bedside of a dying loved one or at their graveside, cling to that promise that Christ is risen. See, Jesus walks with you at all times, and especially at those times. He speaks to you in his word. He opens your eyes to believe what the scriptures declare. And he warms your heart. He fills sad hearts with joy, troubled hearts with peace, weak hearts with strength, and doubting or despairing hearts with faith and hope. Because there is no sin he is not willing to forgive, no hurt that he cannot heal, and no emptiness that he cannot fill. He changes our hearts, bringing us from hopelessness to abundant joy. That's his promise. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.